scripture passage for this morning is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, but JC is not here today, so I would like to ask Tony to come and read the scripture.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. May God add his blessing to the reading and holy understanding of his holy word. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tony, for reading the scripture from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. This is stewardship campaign week. This is the second week, and last week we talked about our stewardship of our time, and today I would like to share and talk about the stewardship of our gifts, our talents. And last week we were talking about what exactly stewardship means, and in simple we can define stewardship as do all you can to do all God wants you to do with all God has given you to do with, all for the glory of God. So that can be the simple definition of what stewardship is all about. Now just imagine, as a parent, many of us sitting here are parents, have been parents, and just imagine yourself. It is Christmas morning, and you set your presents at the feet of your children, expecting and hoping that they would be excited, they would open the gifts, and you will just enjoy, watch their excitement. But as you were watching your children get up and then you put the presents under the Christmas tree, they just look at them. They are not very enthusiastic. They do not even open them. They just go upstairs, put them in the closet, and do not touch them again. And your friends come over and ask them, "What did you get for Christmas?" And they say, "Nothing, no gift." How would you feel? Disappointed, sad, upset, right? Because, we work so hard. We tried our best to get the best gift for the Christmas, and we tried our best to put it for them, expecting that they would be excited. They would be so overjoyed. They will be jumping around, and we don't see anything. They said, just take it and then put it in the closet. Just imagine, how would God feel when he has gifted each one of us, every believer, with unique gift? But we as Christians, as followers, as disciples, never unwrap, never examine, never find out our gifts, never say, thank you, Lord, I can serve you in this area. But we just walk away and we are not bothered and we do not care what kind of gifts God has given us. That's the same example of how God is watching at us, over us, every time we neglect our gifts, our unique gift. Because today's text, which Tony just read, talks about each one of us given different unique gift. If we especially read verses 6 to 8, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve or her. If it is teaching, let him or her teach. If it is encouraging, let him or her encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him or her give generously. If it is leadership, let him or her lead with a servant heart. And if it is showing mercy, let him or her do it cheerfully. And each one of us sitting here today can fit in one of the categories. And this week we are talking about our gifts of stewardship, our talent. And by our talent, I am referring to our natural abilities, the skills we learn from our parents, from our teachers, from our Sunday school teachers, from our church, in our childhood days, and the skills that we have now in order to serve each other. And it also means the spiritual gifts each one of us are given. Each one of us are given special, unique gift and talent that we can use it for God's glory. You see, each one of us is given a particular way with certain natural abilities and skills. God has made you uniquely you, and there is nobody in the world exactly like you, like you talk, the way you eat, the way you walk, the way you do things, the way you think, the way you interact. Every one of us, some of us are extrovert, some of us are introvert, and some of us are in between. Some of us are good in helping people. Some of us are good in praying for others. Some of us are good in working for somebody, serving in different ways. Each one of us are gifted in so special way that nobody can Xerox copy you. And the fact is, God has given each one of us uniquely different gifts so that we can complement each other. We can build each other up. And if we do that, we will be able to do things well. And there are things you can do much, much better than I can do. There are things I am able to do well that maybe you may not be able to do well. But when we bring all these things together, we are able to accomplish what God has called us to do. It is just like some of us, we know, some of us are very good school teachers, some of us are very good police officers, today we celebrated the veterans, some of you serve in the Navy, some of us serve in the army. Some of us serve in different areas. So each of us serve. Many people today who came here to present the colors, you have served in your own different ways, different categories, and because of your sacrifice, our world, our country, we are saved. And so we thank you. And just like that, in every field, we have different people serving and trained in different ways. Like a doctor trained to be a doctor cannot be a good engineer because that is his field, you see. And an engineer trained in measuring the building, the structure, cannot be a good lawyer. And a lawyer trained to be a lawyer maybe cannot be a good pastor. So each area and businessmen and people in financial area or computer engineers or teachers or social work and police officers, everybody, we are gifted in so special way, in unique ways that we can only complement each other. We can only come together and we can make our society a better place. The same is true in our ministry. In the church of God, God has called each one of us to be faithful stewards, to use our talents, to use our gifts in the best way we can. Today, our praise team sang or led in singing the song, "Build Our Kingdom Here." And this is what we are called to do. We are to build God's kingdom among us. And it should start with each one of us here in our church, in our personal life, in our family. We have to give our best. But there are some things that all of us can do best when we do it together. And our scripture lesson tells us few things that we don't have to be trained, we don't have to be specialized to be an engineer or a doctor or a police officer or an army general or anybody, but each one of us can do some of these things very well in our everyday lives. And the first thing is encouraging people. And everything we do at church, about the church, is to encourage everybody. Because, as I always say, a church is a place where all of us, as broken people, we come together to build each other to receive God's blessing. Once, William Arthur Ward, he wrote, "Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. But encourage me, and I will not forget you." So encouragement is very important in everybody's life. A gift of encouragement is very, very special. And everyone can do that. Maybe not every one of us obviously has that gift. Maybe we do. But some people just seem to have that gift that can make other people feel good and that can help them build them up. And that is what encouragement does in our lives. It builds people up. Because if we read Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up." And again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church." Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, it says, "For even if I boast, somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. And if we read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Christians, as followers, church, we are all in the building business, regardless of what we are gifted with, whether we are extremely gifted at all or not, we are all in the building business. We all should speak words that build up people. Because anybody, everybody can say something nice to someone if we think about the good things of the other person. And so as a teacher, this is what I always do. Especially during Hebrew class, I mean, it's lots of memorization, lots of rules, lots of forms, and so this is what I always try to do so that they will keep up with the new rules, new grammar, forms, and examples that we learn every day, every time. And so I would always tell them, okay, next week when we come to class, I will ask you something that we learned today. And so this is my assignment for all of us for the next few Sundays, that I may just call your names and ask you. So today, as we go home, just think about every person sitting here today, a good thing about that person. Can we do that? We will think about, okay, list all the names sitting here today. And for some of us who are new, I mean, who have been here for a few Sundays, you can just think about the names that you know, that you have talked with, and it doesn't have to be the entire, since you have not had conversation with everybody yet. But for those of us who have been here for a long time, now I want everybody to list out the names of every person sitting here and write one good thing about that person. One good quality about that person, and we can do that, right? All right, so beginning from next Sunday, I can call out anybody, but don't make that as an excuse not to come to church next Sunday. Now, if we read Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, Paul also says, "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Those who have the gifts of encouragement live for others. Your aim in life or purpose is to bless others. With or without the gift of encouragement, we all should think more about encouraging one another. Because Warren Harding once said, there is good in everybody. Boost them up. Don't knock them down, so that every person can use their unique gift for God's glory. And so all of us can do that small thing. It doesn't cost us anything. We can just say a good small words, and that can build somebody's career, somebody's life, somebody's future. And so let's remember, encouraging other people is an important part of our stewardship. Number two, contributing. Contribution. It is very important because Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10, to 13, it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances is. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Paul is encouraging us that God has given us so much. God has blessed us so much that the least we can do for Him is to set aside the percentage that we have to give back to God. Every time we are blessed with, God is not asking our house, our car, our child, like He did to Abraham. God is only asking a portion of our blessings, which He has given to us, to show how grateful we are. And it is just a spiritual practice. It is just a spiritual exercise for us to be able to do that. And next week, we will hear testimonies from members, and we will hear stories about how people practice the art of giving 10% for God. And it is not because God needs it. God doesn't need our money because He has given that to us. But it is our response to God for all the blessings, the good life, the good family, the good relationship, the good blessings, the house, the opportunity to be in this beautiful, wonderful place, and to have the job, to have all the blessings that we enjoy each and every day. The third thing, the third example of our stewardship is leading. Each of us are called to lead with action. And each of us, maybe we may not be leading in one committee or board or anything, but each of us are called to lead in every small way that we do things every time. And so leadership, leading is not only when you are given a position like in committee or boards or anything. Each of us are supposed to lead maybe our family, our children, our community, our neighborhood, our town. And this morning in our adult Sunday school, we were talking about loving our city, our town, our community, and we were talking about, we were having brainstorming about, okay, what are some of the things we can do for our city, for our town? How can we reach out to people around us? Not necessarily holding a flyer and saying, this is the love of God and this is about how Jesus died. We don't have to always do that, but what are some of the things we can do? We just talk about some of the ways that our church is trying our best to reach out to the community, and we were just talking about how during our trunk or treat, we had a lot of community turning up and just having conversation with them and talking about what our church is doing on a daily basis about our ministries. And also, we were just brainstorming about, okay, how can we go from this building, from this parking lot, and then just reach out to community and just do things, and what are some of the needs that we see in our community. So these are all part of leading, leadership with example. And there are lots we can do And it should start with us personally, in our family, and we can continue to expand and grow and grow. And that is what leadership is about, and that is what leading is about. And also, many of us are leading in our church as faithful disciples and stewards. And those are some of the gifts God has given each one of us to lead, to be faithful to our calling. And that's what stewardship is all about. A pastor once wrote about a church member, and he says, in a church I once served, there was a man of tremendous faith. His wife is an alcoholic. His daughter has physical, psychological problems. He was often poor in health. Yet, week after week, he never complained. He always smiled and asked me how I was doing. He faithfully brought to church a young blind man who had no transportation. He always sat with the blind man, helping him sing the hymns by saying the words into his ear. And the pastor says, that man truly was a Christian leader. And that's the kind of stewardship that God is asking from each one of us. And the other thing, the next thing I would like to talk about stewardship, or call to stewardship, is demonstrating mercy. God is calling us to demonstrate God's mercy that we have received from Him. And the intention of God for church is to be a house of mercy, that between human weakness and God's patience, the church will come and helps find good news of the great Christian hope. Whoever reaches this house, the house of God, and whoever surrenders to God's mercy will not only cease to be lonely and abandoned, but will also discover fuller existence, lit up by faith and the love of the living God, Christ, who died, rose again, and now is alive in this very church. In the house of God, mercy abounds. I heard a story about President Coolidge. I'm not sure if this story is true. In the early days of his presidency, Calvin Coolidge woke up one morning in his hotel room to find a cat burglar going through his pockets. So he woke up and he asked the burglar not to take his watch chain because it was a very memorable item that he wanted to keep. And later on, Coolidge engaged the burglar in a conversation, and later on he discovered that he was just a college student who had no money to pay his hotel bill or buy a ticket back to his campus. So Coolidge took out $32 out of his wallet and convinced the young man to pay him back when he finishes college and when he starts getting his salary. He said it was only a loan. And he advised the young man to leave the way he had come, so in order to avoid the Secret Service. So he had to climb out of the window. This is a story of mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6 also says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Just imagine, if Jesus did not demonstrate mercy, the woman caught in adultery would have been stoned. Do you remember that story? If Jesus did not demonstrate mercy, he would not have talked to the Samaritan woman about living water. If Jesus did not demonstrate mercy, no lepers would have been healed. And if Jesus did not demonstrate mercy, no one of us could be saved today. As faithful stewards, we are all invited to demonstrate mercy that God has given to us in our lives. And finally, I would like to end with a quotation from Irma Bumbach, who once said, "When I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, 'I used everything you gave me.'" Let us use all the gifts that God has given to us and become faithful stewards for his kingdom. May God bless us. Amen.